Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me on today's show, Upshow, co-founder Matt Gibbs, CMO. Usually it's Adam. We kicked Adam out today. He's out raising capital. They announced a little while ago they raised a bunch of money. Growing like a leaf, which is fantastic. We love companies, especially Chicago companies that do that. Very interesting show. We're like all over the place. But the central part of the conversation resonates with me in particular for several reasons. Sales as a component of business is, if you listen to any good CEO, they will tell you that your first job is always as the lead salesperson. Everybody else out there, and by selling, you're selling yourself, you're selling your business, you're selling the product, you're selling everything. You've got to have the proper support to be successful. And most companies, myself included, don't provide the proper support to get the job done, because you just literally can only do what you can do, and it becomes very difficult. But I think that you have to definitely, taper your expectations and at least recognize when you measure and analyze how you're doing, that you probably didn't give the best support. And I think that for me personally, this is a learning curve. Like all of you, I just think I don't provide enough of it, and I think that the people who I work with don't provide me with enough support sometimes when it comes to how we're going to move product. And the same thing for all of you guys. I say this not just because it actually is an annoying thing in my life, but also because our guest at an Upshow is, in my mind, if you're in a company, particularly B2C, is a new sort of line into how to attract customers. And it is the support mechanism that I'm talking about. It is having exposure. I mean, listen, there's nothing worse than jumping on a call or cold emailing or whatever you're doing, and people are like, I don't know who the hell you are, and I don't know what the hell business you work for. I don't, because you can't sell anything to anyone if they don't trust you. They don't trust the product, and they don't trust your brand, business brand. It's impossible. So anything that can be done to support that, including having screens in all your businesses so that when people come in and out, they can experience it firsthand, which, you know, plugs into your social, which should plug into your ads. Here's the other thing. I joke about this all the time with like Glengarry Glen Ross. I'm a huge fan. I think it's a little bit outdated for the average salesperson, but whatever. That's my opinion. There's no excuse for handing people leads or like any sort of objectives or goals, and you have no data or no analytics on who the people are. I call it intel. You don't have any intel on who the buyer is. You don't provide me with any of that. You just like, oh, here's a list of emails and names, 10,000 wide. Go figure it out. Go pound sand. Like, no. Professional companies live on data. We've established this over the last 150 plus recordings, that the more you know, the more you track, the better you're going to be. That is why I found this podcast episode to be particularly interesting. So before we jump over to Matt Gibbs, who's CMO of and co-founder of Upshow, we got to check in and see what the Startup Inbox brings us. The Startup Inbox is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. See why 65,000 businesses, including Technori, use ActiveCampaign for their marketing by signing up at activecampaign.com/Technori. Get your first 2 months free. Should tech serve the greater good? Stephanie Lacey asks, do tech startups have a responsibility to create things that make the world a better place, or is it even realistic in the mission statement? Yeah. So about that. No. No, 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 and no. The mission thing, ourselves included, are as much about adaptability, likability, and employability as anything. Yes, if everyone wins, we win, and the mission, and all, yes, that's all good. It's just like, why do you play for championships? Yeah, but why do you play? I love the game. Okay, yeah, but why do you play? I want to make my family, you know, in a better spot. Okay, that's your mission. That's the kind of stuff that drives you through, you know, the dark places. Missions a lot of times have been accused of, like, you know, people talk about Mark Zuckerberg and Gates. It's like guilt. It's a guilt thing. I've been so successful that this is, I have to give back. It's a way for me to, it's altruistic in a way. The mission in the end is just like a really good way to galvanize. But just like anything else in the world, you know, oil, energy, the Industrial Revolution, steel, coal, name whatever revolutionary device, cars, they were built to sell you to make money and then add new products to make more money. The only difference between tech and, you know, U.S. steel is that one can destroy the world even faster. Global warming may or may not be a result of how we consume energy, among other things. It's going to ruin the world. It already is. But it's going to take generations. Technology can ruin the world in a generation, i.e. election. There are so many things that technology can impact. I am tired of hearing this thing about the founders need to be held accountable. Really? In the history of all business, the founders are held accountable? Yeah, to a point. But in the end, look at them for who they are. Profiteering, capitalism, that's what it is. That's what this is all about. That this whole game is about money, folks. If you don't know that yet, I don't know what can be done to make you get it. Who I'd like to see held accountable is the government. Our government should not be asking questions to Mark Zuckerberg that a toddler would ask. What kind of company are you? Really? You don't know? How stupid are you? The government needs to be held accountable by us, and the government needs to hold all CEOs accountable, tech or otherwise. And so we hold them accountable. They don't hold themselves accountable. Would you hold a toddler accountable if they had their hand next to a cookie? Or your dog if you left a hot dog on the plate? Would you hold the dog accountable? No, you're the idiot. I'm not calling you an idiot, Stephanie. I'm just saying that people in general really need to recognize game. Game recognizes game. Speaking of game, we got Upshow. Matt Gibbs, co-founder, CMO of Upshow. I'm telling you, folks, this company is going to be huge. You are going to see this all over the world when you go into places, because I really think that it has this like epic potential to change the way that the way and the why we record content of ourselves consuming products. So this is my conversation. Matt Gibbs, CMO, co-founder, Upshow. Can you actually take the piece that we started and just splice it into the beginning and we'll just pick up our conversation? Sweet. It was recording, right? All right, good. So yeah, we do like kind of a rolling start. It's just better than having so welcome. How are you? No, I think it's an interesting conversation that you bring up. And obviously I think it's ironic. I don't know if ironic is even the right word, but Upshow was in the business of promoting other people's businesses when it got started initially. Like that was the whole thing. Like you've got these screens inside of, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, and like we're trying to show the experience and all that. And it's, I guess the best way to describe it, this is what I had said to Adam, is sort of the it's like a micro experience of the macro of what your business is supposed to be about, right? You get to consume a little bit on the micro level. So then as you guys scale and grow and pivot, there's like a natural feeling that like you have to carry all of your clients with you, which is like so typical.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's just not possible. And it's like, I wish that this would have gone, you know, I don't know if wish is the right word, but like I intended for this to go this way where we're all together for the rest of our lives. But the reality is that's not how life goes.
Right. And that's like for us as a business being almost 4 years in, it's like the transition period for a while. It's like every customer is created equal to you. And now it's like, okay, for customers that we might consider more of a tier three customer, how can we automate almost everything from the sale to onboarding to just even customer success and even customer support?
Yeah.
When back in the day, it was like everybody was white glove everything, but that's not sustainable at scale.
Yeah, and it's so funny. So like, are you familiar with this like passing deal called Superhuman, the email platform? All right,
no.
So it's like invite only. It's like making its way around. It's the modern. It's as if Gmail and email was recreated today.
Okay.
And the founders of it got companies acquired by Gmail and things like that. It's like they know what they're doing, but they've created this sort of white gloves where every single person gets onboarded. Like very, very, very expensive process, one-on-one call to like onboard with an email platform, $30 a month. So the price is steep, but like, it's a crazy thing. And I'm wondering when you think of your company, how does Upshow, like, how do you get people to understand what you do and make sure that they maximize the use of you? Because I think that is key in your business, but also sustainably grow that experience.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's a million-dollar question.
Well, it is, and it's something we've been focusing a lot on right now, is realizing that the post-sale is so important, because for a while it was just all about celebrating growth and okay, we're selling, we're doing great. But to really minimize churn and attrition in a business, you have to make sure that post-sale process from step one is essentially perfect. So what we're trying to do is we've actually staffed up. We've got people that are dedicated just to onboarding, and to answer your question and just making it more scalable and efficient, we're trying to batch as many as we can, right? So if we can drive an onboarding where 10 new customers are all on the same onboarding and they get a great experience to understand how to maximize the platform, that's great. However, if it's a Buffalo Wild Wings or a UFC gym, a major customer like that, they'll still get the white glove service and they'll have a dedicated account manager that we're going to have to drive on.
Yep. Okay. So, I mean, I guess that's sort of the key for those who are listening, if they haven't kind of picked up on it, what is vitally important is understanding who your customers are. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about this in the last show with ShiftGig. Mm-hmm. Sort of like this understanding a hierarchy of where our money's going to come from long term. Like, we've got to get adoption first. We've got to figure out, you know, who are our best scale partners, mm-hmm. who are the partners who we can drive other additional forms of revenue with, yep. and then who are the ones that are sort of like the bedrock.
Right.
And, you know, people don't want to hear this, but like, you do have to treat them, depending on your business, you do have to treat them all a little different.
Right.
And you have to allot a certain amount of money to make sure that your core clients, that if they went out tomorrow, you guys are in deep trouble, mm-hmm. don't go out tomorrow. And the rest of them, it's like, it's really more important that like word of mouth is good. The customer support is good. But like, if they're not spending a lot of money with us, we're not making, you know, do you see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I think that's the biggest challenge as you grow is like you talk to a board about what your lofty sales goals are going to be, but that might rely on a number of like whale customers that you're going to get. And those whales, the sales cycle is going to be probably so much longer, right?
Yeah.
And you can't just wait and cross your fingers that those are going to close. You still need to sort of sustain your business with the bedrock, like you called it as well.
How did you guys identify this and then through the pivot? Because like Adam was on last and talked about sort of the pivot and all that. And since then, I think literally they announced the day after he came on was when you guys announced the capital raise.
Yeah.
How have you guys managed that and identified, like, here's who we are and what we do, and these are the individuals that what we do fits perfectly with versus, you know, whatever else?
Yeah. And I think for us, it's the transition really to a value-based sale. So it's the value-based sale and focusing on what are the verticals that matter to us. So Adam probably talked to you about, for us, it's all about hospitality, fitness, and healthcare are our three big verticals. And we're getting really smart in terms of what's the value prop for each of them, because it's a little bit different. Even though they're essentially using the same platform that is Upshow, different things matter to each of them. So for instance, hospitality, bars and restaurants, essentially, they're going to want to use our platform to increase check size, increase length of stay, and increase bounce back. So we think about what can we do by controlling their TV screens to impact that. Versus a fitness club, they're going to be so focused on how can we get members to share more on social media, yeah. because that's word of mouth marketing, and how can we drive more personal trainer sales. And so for us, it's figuring out what's the right sales approach and value based selling to get them excited about what Upshow can do for them. Because in the past, 3 years ago when we talked to you, Upshow was a social TV platform, yeah. and the whole pitch was, all right, if you're at Crunch Fitness Gym working out, share on Instagram or Twitter, use the hashtag and you'll see yourself on TV in a minute. And it was kind of a shiny object, like we were selling off of the cool factor. But where we've really evolved to is to become a full consumer engagement platform. And we're so focused on our conversations with every potential partner to be about that business and marketing outcome that they want to drive on.
It's funny, I don't know if this is something that I'm supposed to say or not, but I guess that's why podcasts have editing. I feel like you guys fill, speaking of outcome, you fill a little bit of a void left with Outcome Health. I just, like, I don't, they're not, obviously not gone, they're still there, but there was like so much, they're so early, and there was so much to be learned. Forget about the story,
yeah.
whatever side you fall. There was so much to be learned about the opportunity inside of offices, and you know, healthcare offices, mm-hmm. facilities, and really what the people would respond with if they saw ads and how to manage that. And you guys, I feel like, have a huge opportunity in
yeah.
that spot.
Yeah, and for us, and we don't really, even in healthcare, which is a growing segment for us, we don't really cross paths with their screens as much, because for the most part, we're very much focused in the waiting room.
Yeah.
And they're more in the actual point of care where it's happening.
Yep.
And there's another key difference is them being an advertising supported model,
yep.
versus us, we're a monthly subscription service. So our partners, whether it's a doctor or it's a gym or it's a bar, they control 100% of the content that's going to be on the yep. screen. But in healthcare, the biggest opportunity for us is really reducing patient anxiety, right?
Yeah.
You're sitting there in the weight room, you're all nervous about whatever your appointment's about to be, but if the Upshow screen can maybe put a smile on your face through some clever, creative, funny videos or content, but then serve up some marketing from the practice that says, hey, here's five questions to not forget to ask your doctor, or don't forget to download our prescription app. All of a sudden,
see,
we're creating
that's
a valuable
the stuff
experience inside the waiting room.
That's the stuff that I see where it is, and when I refer to outcome, there's a fundamental learning that had to happen, I think, by the consumer. We're still learning. Yeah. The consumer is, you know, everything was out, you know, out of home, and then it was all digital, and now we're seeing more out of home again. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, what is the stuff that I will remember the most, and then how do you package it with a marketing sort of delivery? And you, you know, I talked about this with Adam offline. I'm talking about this with you now. I really think that whether it's anxiety, entertainment, and healthcare is just so gigantic.
Sure.
Sitting there learning about how to take care of preventative care, like my physician saying, you know, before you come here, you really need to drink water. You really shouldn't eat. You really shouldn't. This is things that take my mind off of the process, or like how to help myself in the future. You can wrap marketing inside of that, and I think it will be far more useful.
Totally. And if you think about what status quo has probably been on the TV screen inside of a waiting room at a doctor's or a dentist's office, it's probably HGTV. Judge Judy, right?
Or it's HGTV or Judge Judy.
Or they've never changed the channel in the last 2 years, but now all of a sudden if Upshow comes in there and it's still putting a smile on your face, maybe it's a puppy video or maybe it's highlights from the Bears, like that grabs your attention, right? Yep. I think that's the key recipe of success for Upshow in any vertical, is we know what that perfect recipe is to grab the customer, the member, the patient, whoever they are, their attention. We've got their eyes on the screen, right? And then once we have their eyes on the screen, then you can hit them with whatever the right marketing message is going to be. So in the doctor's office, it could be, here's three healthy recipes, or here's a tip on don't forget to run or exercise more often, or download the prescription.
So to your point, I think one of the big differences, and again, this doesn't have to be healthcare, this can be anywhere.
Yeah.
I think that the general advertisers that have been in this space have copied or extended, if you want to look at it this way, the exact model that you just described, which is we just leave the channel on. I mean, if I turn the channel at my doctor's office, I can promise you that the Property Brothers logo would be burned into the screen.
Yep, we've seen that before.
If you run ads like that, similarly, that just drone in a row, I don't think you're going to be very effective versus if you guys have a curated delivery system that provides value, I'm paying attention.
Well, for Upshow, it's the same reason why when you're scrolling through your Instagram or your Facebook feed, you can't stop. You get to the bottom, you got to know more. Even though it's going to be the people you don't even know and or talk to anymore, you just keep going, you keep going. With an Upshow screen, we're kind of bringing that same addictive nature to the TV screen. So you're going to keep looking at it. You're going to consume as much entertainment as fun and games, and then the marketing message are going to resonate, because at a restaurant, we're replacing table tents and the posters that nobody was seeing, and at a doctor's office, they're forgetting, you know, the pamphlets that nobody was paying attention to the table.
So true. Talk to me a little bit about how you, whether it's you guys or the clients themselves, deal with the curation, because that I think that the first most important thing here is that you have the opportunity, which you guys created for them. Mm-hmm. The second most important thing is that they curate it in a way that they can capitalize on the opportunity. And I think some people in their marketing departments probably have enough understanding of this to be able to do it on their own. How are you guys working with them to make sure that the actual delivery of what's going, like, I guess just walk me through the process. Like how does stuff end up on the screen?
Yeah, and there's, call it, three content types that can appear on any Upshow screen. It all depends on the business and how they want to customize it. So there's user-generated content from social media, Instagram and Twitter in particular. Then there's the brand marketing and promotion, so it could be a photo or a video, whatever they want to promote. And then there's the entertainment suite. So the brand can choose from all those things, and there's different levels of curation and opportunity in each of them. Now, Upshow can also run on autopilot. So we could set it up for you today, and it could be in your venue, and it could be perfect forever, and you're never going to really need to change anything. But of course, we have all the tools to help you control it and to curate it. So the first one being user-generated content. So that's the example where we were at Scott's Pub, and we wanted to post on Instagram or Twitter, and we could actually do that in real time and see ourselves on TV. Well, we have one of the world's largest content moderation operations to make sure all content is reviewed by a human in real time, 24/7, to make sure there's no, you know, guns, drugs, nudity, all the stuff you would expect. So as long as it approves all of the brand guidelines on social media, then it's going to go on to that business's Upshow screens inside of their venue. They, of course, have the opportunity to curate that content even further, if they want to move stuff around, if they want to delete content, if they want to ban users, even though the content's not necessarily bad, they can certainly do that. And like the typical example of that would be like if maybe you're an Ohio State bar and there's a Michigan fan that's flaming the content on the screen, you might want to hit the old ban button, right?
That would be our marketing manager, Rachel, who would be putting Michigan stuff everywhere.
That's right. Well, I'm a Buckeye, so go Bucks.
She just said go blue baby.
Whoops.
Anyway, so
there's that for the user generated content component, highly customizable, easy to curate as well. And then there's the digital signage and the marketing material. So they've got every one of our users has a control panel that they can easily manage from their phone, tablet, computer, however they want to easily add their own marketing ads. So if they've got a graphic design department or a video editor, they can upload their own photos, videos, et cetera, to the platform. They can schedule it. They can time base it whenever they want that to go on. Or if we've got smaller locations that might not have a design expert, we have all sorts of templates as well. So you could just go on your phone and say, you know, pull this template that's a flag and say, happy 4th of July, load it to run on 4th of July, and you're done. So it's easy for them to manage all of their own marketing materials as well. And then the third bucket of just the entertainment, this is really cool, is because this is how when we go to national brands, whether it's a restaurant or a fitness brand, we can go to the chief marketing officer of that brand at corporate and say, here's how your upshow screens are going to be customized in every single location. Because if it's a Cincinnati location, we can make sure that the sports and entertainment are tied to the Reds, the Bearcats, the Bengals, the Buckeyes, the teams that matter to that market, versus the same brand screen in Orlando would be about the Magic and UCF, et cetera, as well. And then it goes beyond just sports, because if
there's
you
there's no etc. by the way, there's Excuse nothing me. Left yeah. in Orlando.
It's just you're right. It's like, what's the third?
What is in Orlando
besides Disney World and like every chain?
That's why you go to Orlando for Disney World and then the random pubs that are nearby for the dads when they're done.
Exactly. Yeah, the dad hangout. Yeah, that'll be me. I'm going there with my son this week, so it's top of mind.
Good luck.
Yeah. So our customers and they can opt in. It's like a Netflix menu of how do you want to program your TV. So for them, it's that mix. They've got the user generated content, they've got the marketing materials, and then they've got the entertainment. So they can make their upshow screen theirs while fully branding it. So if you're looking at Crunch TV or B-Dubs TV, the average customer is going to think like, wow, Crunch created their own TV channel. They're not really going to think like what upshow is. They're thinking Crunch created their own channel and it's speaking to me. I can be on Crunch TV. I can learn about personal training. I can see the Bengals highlights, whatever I want based off of the location's interests.
I think the two things that stand out to me here are, one is a little bit longer part of this conversation. The other one's very brief. You brought up Go Buckeyes and we're in a studio with a very small amount of people and already like a conversation was stirred amongst it.
Yep.
That just goes to show you how like easy that happens in a bar or in any atmosphere. If you add the compelling like addition of contrarian anything, sparks a conversation which already increases the engagement inside of your location, which is like ideal, number one.
It's awesome that you say that because we have a trivia platform as well. And something that we found with our venues is not always about how many people are actively playing trivia, because trivia is cool because you can just play from your phone, see it on the screen. It's a fun addition to our product. But that doesn't totally matter how many people are playing because it just has fun questions on the screen.
Yeah.
And you and I might be having a beer
over here. You're playing, but you're not playing.
And
you're
might only notice like every other question. Yeah. And one could be, you know, about, you know, Michigan football history or something. And we're debating something. We're not playing, but it just gave us a reason to talk more. And if we're at that venue, we might stay an extra 15 minutes because of that. And we just bought an extra two beers. And then that's a win for the
Super venue. Smart. The longer part of the conversation is, in my opinion, and this is as the CMO, this is a great sort of conversation piece, is the evolution of social media. I have been talking about this for a couple of years, and finally I feel like it started to actually happen. For a while I felt like I was an idiot. The changing gears of the way businesses in general use social, and that it is essentially your own private media channel. And if you look at like the likes of Apple or you look at Nike, if you go on their feed, they don't have any products at all in it. All they have are
lifestyle
and experiences done by those who use the product or through the product. And if you want to find the products, it's ads that are running alongside of it. And so if you're a random company, and B-Dubs is by no means a random company, it's a large company. But for B-Dubs, you can't just run pictures of wings, like tasty as it may be. You need to show some sort of experience. Well, how do you create an experience? How do you possibly create a million video, like you couldn't. And so you need to rely on UGC, user generated content. Well, where do we get that and why would they contribute it? They're not just going to tag me in Instagram because they just happen to be eating wings somewhere else or at home. they got to be in my location. And I want to get branding. Well, where do you get branding? In my location. Mm-hmm. So you guys have created a mechanism that enables all of these companies that are not Nike and Apple mm-hmm. and don't have the money and the resources to actually create the content that should and could have been on their platforms. And that actually, in a much longer part of this conversation, actually enables those companies to run better advertising, get better analytics, just everything is exponentially more. Am I wrong? Or am I
wrong? You were right. You want to come work it up, show?
Yeah, everyone offers me a job. If this thing doesn't work out, the minute you people stop listening to this show, I'm going to work at one of the guest places.
You know, and I think what you just described is the rise of the micro-influencer, really, because the past, whatever, 5 to 10 years, influencers have become such a mainstream topic, and, you know, Fyre Festival led to plenty of negative connotation as to what that necessarily means. But I think what's important and what we're trying to drive and educate our customers, much like you just dropped some serious knowledge, is just the importance of micro-influencers and going beyond just the brand channels. Because if you, no matter what your business is, if you can inspire a customer to share on social media from inside the four walls of your venue, that is gold. A win. Now, Upshow is a platform that is built to inspire and to drive more content and more business outcomes inside of your venue through your TVs. But that's not the only way you can do it. Of course, I'm biased. I think everybody with a TV should have Upshow inside their venue. But it's what can you do inside of your venue? How can you create the experience that's going to want them to not just take out their phone, but to take that picture and share it with their friends on social media? Because there's all sorts of research. 92% of people trust a recommendation from their friends over any standard advertisement. That's obvious to say. If I saw, Scott, you posted a picture of your new Nikes and said, these are great for hooping, I'm going to believe that over seeing an ad in Sports Illustrated, like LeBron telling me they're great shoes, right? Like that's obvious. So we're trying to help our partners understand the more you can inspire customers to share on their social channels, the more free, authentic word of mouth marketing you're going to get.
And I think it amplifies your ability as a company to market, to be totally honest, because now, I mean, obviously you know how this goes, but like, if I've got 5,000 followers or whatever it is, or 2,000 connections or whatever, it depends on what platform you're on. If I posted a picture of B-Dubs, I tagged B-Dubs showed that on their channel. They shared it. They liked it. All of a sudden, my friends like the page. They like me. Maybe some like B-Dubs, maybe some not. Yep. All that I can tell you is that everyone between me and the last friend in my list is going to probably see an ad from B-Dubs after that. Yep. And the only reason that they're able to do that is because I shot video and posted it inside of B-Dubs, tagged them, they tagged me, and you created that network dynamic. If you're a business and you don't understand that, you are literally letting every single connection of every single customer walk right out the door.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's the... And that level of remarketing is becoming commonplace, and it's not just reserved for the Nikes and the
and it's not just reserved
anymore.
For social.
Yeah.
It's also like we're going to see, you know, and this is why you guys just raised money and why things are looking very good. We are right in the beginning of going to see a massive shift towards out of home again. And like the digital is a component of it, and it's a very strong component. I would argue it's probably the analytical bone behind it. But what you're going to see is I scrolled, I walked outside, and boom, there was a digital ad somewhere that I didn't expect. And it's from, we're creating this network where now it's pinging back and forth from my phone to my social to my computer to in front of my face.
Yeah, like exactly. So you might be seeing Avengers Endgame in the theater and there was an ad that showed, and since you know your device pinged there, you might walk out into the mall and then all of a sudden you're scrolling on Instagram and you're seeing an ad that connects to the one you just saw in the movie theater.
And if you miss this opportunity, this is the same conversation this is something we really should break this down for ourselves as well. We're entering the conversation piece like we did about 3 years ago when you were selling, if you were selling data or the need to acquire data, and you were telling companies, if you don't do this now, you're screwed. Because 3 years from now, this is going to be how we live and breathe.
Yep.
And this is the same thing for marketing. The marketing, content marketing is one thing. Mm-hmm. Strategic analytics and actual profile building and network dynamics is the future of marketing, the same as data. If you're not in now, you're going to have a really big barrier to catch up with.
Yeah, and that's we're trying to be two steps ahead of the game with Upshow in terms of just what's all the data that we're tracking and we are a part of inside the four walls of the venue. So it starts with them seeing the screen, of course, and then are they taking action on social media because of that? We're tracking all that. Are they making a purchase that they saw because it was on the screen, then tracking that into the point of sale system? Are they seeing a call to action, maybe scanning a QR code on the screen that we promote and then downloading an app? Like we can track everything that's actually happening and then figure out what's the perfect perfect mix for our customers to promote on their screens so they can actually control what people are doing when they're inside the venue.
I got to imagine you guys see a lot of cool stories that, like, I don't think most people would see. What are some of the most inspiring or different or scary, whatever, stories you guys have that have come out of having people being able to watch themselves appear on a screen?
Yeah, there's every day is exciting because just 4 years ago, we would just track the hashtags and see every single post. And just, I was just thrilled that people were doing it. Like, wow, this is my company. People are actually, sharing. This is working, right? And now there's so many thousands of posts every day that it's fun to highlight the ones that stand out or get the most engagement. So actually one of the top venues is the Skydeck, right?
Yep.
Right down the street, because that's just such a cool, the ledge, and people are always either proposing. There's always some interesting proposals happening there, or just people doing crazy Spider-Man type stuff in there is cool. And Upshow has become a kind of core part of the Skydeck experience, which is really cool. Every day we're amazed because our fitness network has grown so much of just how crazy, insane, and fit some of these fitness people are.
I got to imagine the bro pictures just are in abundance.
There's from bro just to people that, like, their thing is just being jacked and able to do incredible feats. Like every day, like we have screens in our office that are kind of dedicated to just different verticals, just so we can see the fun stuff coming through, and just the people that are, you know, doing headstands to backflip to pull ups but that's what's cool of what Upshow does is because there's if a UFC gym has 30 screens and 10 of them are UFC TV powered by Upshow, now all of a sudden sharing your amazing strength feat becomes a core part of the experience of being at the gym, which therefore the members are promoting UFC even more. But it's not just about the fit bros, like you said.
Yeah.
A lot of times we see the majority of the content in fitness for us is not like the muscle head. It's actually the trainer might be celebrating the achievement of the client, right? Who, you know, just, you know, set a new personal record, or, you know, lost 15 pounds, decreased 5% body fat, of like that. What's cool is to see those inspiring moments, right? Because then we at Upshow see, wow, like, look at the smile on their face, because they have a sense of pride, not just that the trainer is posting it on their Instagram, but everybody in the gym is seeing that on TV, and that's because of Upshow as well. It's fun.
I think it is a very novel approach, or like a, what's the best way to put it? It's completely logical that you would think that if someone had the ability to put themselves on the screen of whatever place they're in, that they would. But the problem is that people will just like post garbage. And the reality is, by having more volume and having you guys be able to curate it, I think you can actually draw maybe even better content that you could have created, because you would never have thought to do this.
Yeah, you asked the right question. And so, like, a lot of times in sales, one of the first questions that a prospect will ask us is like, well, what do you do about the insert blank here? Nudity, the bad stuff.
Sure.
And then they'll say, well, what do you do about
the ugly, boring stuff?
But what happens is, because people know their content is going to be on TV, they step their game up.
Yeah.
They're like, this is my big shot. Like, I better nail it. I better get the right filter. I better get the right angle, because I got to look good on TV. Or if it's going to be a video, like, I better capture the right version of the shot as well.
So if I was a single man at a gym that had this back in the day, I would absolutely try, like, asking somebody out across the gym via Upshow.
It happens too.
I bet people have gotten married as a result.
In any of these social venues where there's so many TVs on and it's a crowded spot. Like, we do a lot of music festivals too. So they'll be on the Jumbotron.
Upshow 2.0 is Bumble. it's Upshow. Hey, you know what?
Live.
Facebook's getting in dating. So, I mean, why not you guys, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Last but not least, where do people go to from a business side to connect with you guys, and then where do people go to find the nearest places that have Upshow?
Yeah. So a website is the best spot to find us for business, www.upshow.tv. And also follow us on Instagram at Upshow, and Twitter is at Upshow TV. And here in the Chicago area, in downtown, we're at Navy Pier, which I'm looking at right now, the Skydeck, which I mentioned, and all sorts of bars and restaurants throughout River North and Wrigleyville. You'll see us all around town there. And then fitness-wise, like I mentioned, there's UFC Gym and Charter Fitness. And Chicago's a great spot. We started here, we grew here, and now we're all over the country and soon to be the world.
Awesome. Matt, thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
Of course. You can learn more about upcoming Technori events, investment opportunities. Check out the blog at technori.com. Subscribe to the newsletter. Download the podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get yours. And of course, follow us on social at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.